Welcome to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in their lives. And it's a place where your questions about faith and religion can be answered. And now, here's your host, Deacon Al.
Thank you, John, and welcome everyone to Good News. I'm Deacon Al Lundy. I'm an ordained deacon of the Peoria Diocese serving here in Bloomington Normal. And with me again today is James, my 17-year-old, about to be senior cohort.
Correct. You got it this time.
Good to have you back, James. Love having you here, by the way.
Thank you.
I know you have to work around your work schedule and sometimes your school schedule in order to be here and have some studio time with me, but I do appreciate it. And you always have some good questions on our readings, and I'm looking forward to what questions you might share with us today. So let's hop into things right away. I believe our first reading is, again, from a prophet. We had a prophet last week. We heard from Amos. The week before that, we heard from Ezekiel. And now this week, we hear from Jeremiah.
Woe to the shepherds who mislead and scatter the flock of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, of the God of Israel, against the shepherds who shepherd my people. You have scattered my sheep and driven them away. You have not cared for them, but I will take care to punish your evil deeds. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock from all the lands to which I have driven them, and bring them back to their meadow. There they shall increase and multiply. I will appoint shepherds for them who will shepherd them so that they need no longer fear and tremble, and none shall be missing, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I shall raise up a righteous shoot to David as king. He shall reign and govern wisely. He shall do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah shall be saved. Israel shall dwell in security. This is the name they give him, the Lord, our justice. They're trying to tongue twist me, those.
So, this is a very cool reading, but I'm interested in what questions you have about it.
All right. Who are the shepherds in this? Who is it referring to, the Pharisees?
Good question. Yeah, that's part of them. Yeah, right. Absolutely. So Jeremiah, I always feel bad for Jeremiah. Jeremiah as a prophet, very, very powerful. When you read Jeremiah, you can almost picture this guy standing on a hillside, shaking his fists.
Just the way that was worded,
it yeah,
seemed powerful. Yeah,
yeah. All of Jeremiah is this. He's at a point in time where God is really, really had it with the tribes of Israel. And now in this one, he's told Jeremiah, go out and just lay down the law and explain to them, there are some of you now who are just, you're out of it now. I'm turning to other people. I've tried and tried and tried to get through to you. You keep rejecting me. And now I'm moving on to the remnant. Okay, and remnant's a really important word, because when you think what a remnant is, it's a piece of a whole, right? It's a piece of a larger, a remnant of cloth is a piece of a larger stock of cloth, right? So what God is saying is that the majority of you, the majority of the tribe of Israel has now rejected me, and only a small portion have stayed true, and I'm going to focus on them now, and I'm going to bring others in. And you've chosen to stay out, so stay out. That's fine.
Here's my question then.
Yeah.
He says that he goes after the lost sheep, the one lost sheep over everyone else. Like, he'll leave to find one person who's lost their faith.
Right.
So why does he leave a whole group of people who have lost their faith? Why not keep trying? I think it makes sense for him to leave and try and move on to other people. But it just doesn't sound like the God that...
Throughout the whole Testament, God keeps trying to draw the tribes of Israel back in. Over and over again, they reject him. Over and over again, God goes in and brings them some level of salvation from the problem they're at, whether they're starving or whether they're scattered or whether they're being persecuted or whether they've been enslaved. Every time they get in trouble, they go back to God and ask for help. And despite the fact of how often they've left him, God keeps going back because these are his people. So over and over and over again, God offers him their salvation. And he's still offering it to him after this point. But what he's saying is, you need to know now that my focus is going to be on somebody else. If you want to come back to me, that's fine. But my focus, my activity now is going to be elsewhere. And so what is that response? I mean, what is the action that God takes? He sends Christ. And he sends Christ first to the Jewish people to pick up that remnant, to pick up the lost sheep. But he also says he's there for all the sheep. He's there for all the flocks. So this is kind of the last part of the Old Testament where God is saying that he's going to send a good shepherd, a perfect shepherd, because they've decided to follow so many bad shepherds. And those shepherds are going to pay the price for what they've done wrong. But now he's going to send a good shepherd. And that good shepherd is going to lead everyone, not just the tribes of Israel, but now he's going after all the flocks. So that's what we're seeing here. This had to be for some of the tribes of Israel, this was really bad news. This was like, oop, we've blown it, our last chance, we've blown it. And for others, it was kind of, okay, so what? You know, we've been without you this long. If we have to be without you forever, so what? So some of the tribes of Israel really didn't care. And you're right. Some of these bad shepherds that were misleading the people are the scribes and the Pharisees that we hear about during Jesus's time. So in our time, we still have those scribes and Pharisees. We still have bad shepherds. So my question to you is, who can you think of as some of the bad shepherds in our lifetime?
Politicians?
I would rank politicians in there.
They're up there.
Yeah. Who else?
Teachers could be a bad shepherd. Good shepherds, bad shepherds.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's a mixed bag. You can have some really good shepherds among good teachers, but then you have some who, again, try to turn their students away from their faith or try and teach something that is contrary to faith. So, yes, I think there are some bad shepherds among teachers. Where else can we find bad shepherds?
I think just about everywhere. Even your parents, they could be bad
shepherds. There are some bad shepherds. There are some parents who are bad shepherds. Yeah, absolutely. You're right. It's everywhere. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of them in the Old Testament. There's a lot of them now. So God is saying, but I'm sending the perfect shepherd. I'm sending you a good shepherd. This is the one to follow. So if you have bad shepherds in your life, if you have people who are not sharing God's love with you, who are not helping you with what's best for you, which is a relationship with Christ, be it a parent or a teacher. I know people who are atheists because their parents taught them to be atheists. Did nothing to teach them about a relationship with God or of God's love for them. So, and there are, like you say, there are teachers like that. There are politicians like that. There are people in media. There are people who are producing films or writing books made to lead us away from our relationship with Christ, who misrepresent Christ and Christ's love to us. So, yeah, we're surrounded by bad shepherds. There is one good shepherd. God gave us Christ as the one good shepherd.
And is that the king that's coming from the offshoot of, David that he mentioned?
That's right. Jesus, right. The offshoot of David is Jesus. That's who. That when you see that in the Old or New Testament, that's always referring to the coming of the Messiah. Yeah. Okay, so second reading. This is, I believe, Paul, back to another letter to the Ephesians. He was speaking to the Ephesians last week, and let's continue that.
Brothers and sisters, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have become near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, he who made both one, and broke down the dividing wall of enmity through his flesh, abolishing the law with its commandments and legal claims, that he might create in himself one new person in place of the two, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile both with God, in one body, through the cross, putting that enmity to death by it. He came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For though him, for through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father.
Great. Questions?
So is he talking about God's law or like legality, like through the law?
Through the law, he's talking about God's law.
God's law, right. Okay.
So what we see here is kind of a continuation, 1,000 years later, of the first reading.
So is he saying that he's abolishing God's like previous laws? Because it says he's abolishing the law.
By abolishing the law, he's talking about... so we have different laws being referred to all as law in Scripture. So you have the Mosaic laws, the 600 and some Mosaic laws. And at the time, what was being taught, what was being taught?
Grammar. Oh
my goodness, thank you. What was being taught was that if you followed the law, that is what brought you close to God, was obedience to the law of the Mosaic law. And what Christ came and said is, what brings you close to Christ is me. What brings you to Christ is your love for me and my love for you. That the law simply teaches us how to love, but it's the act of love, of loving God and of loving our neighbors, that's what brings us in relationship with God. Washing your dishes thoroughly before you eat doesn't bring you close to God. But that was one of the Mosaic laws. You know, all these ritual washings. The purpose for those washings were to teach us about a cleanliness of heart, a cleanliness of soul. That it was important to be clean. And it wasn't about cleaning your dishes. It was about cleaning you. So the Pharisees perverted that information and said, if you follow the law, if you follow every single law, you will be close to God. And God's saying, no, follow my son if you want to be close to me. And what my son says is love each other, forgive each other, love me. That's what brings you close to me. So that's what Paul is talking about on there. But in your first reading, we had that this promise of a new shepherd. And in this reading, Paul's identifying that new shepherd is Christ. And he's talking about where that new shepherd will lead you, and that the new shepherd, as they were saying in Jeremiah, the new shepherd isn't just coming for this remnant of the people of Israel, but he's coming for all people, for all flocks. And so Paul's saying when Christ came, he didn't just preach to those who were near God, those members of the tribes of Israel who are staying true to the worship of God, but he also came for the ones who were far from them. So the Ephesians are pagans. He's talking to a bunch of Greek pagans, and he's saying, you who were for so long, you were far from God. You were worshiping other gods. You have now become, because he's talking to the church that's been established, the Christian church that's been established in this location. He's saying, so Christ is talking to you as well. He's talking to those who were near God and those who were far from God. And he's brought you all together because it's one Savior for everyone. It's not a different God for different people. It's one God and one Savior for all people, for all sins, no matter who you are, no matter what your faith was before, no matter what your heritage was before, doesn't matter. We're all now one under Christ. True then, true today.
All right.
Okay?
Okay.
We'll talk about today's gospel when we come back after these messages.
Stay tuned. Good news will be right back on Catholic Spirit Radio.
July 26th is the Feast of St. Anne, Mother of Mary and Grandmother of Jesus. Make plans now to join the 141st Annual Novena and Celebration honoring this saint at the National St. Anne Shrine in St. Anne, Illinois, a small town near Kankakee. 7 p.m. Masses begin on the 18th, and then on July 26th, there will be 3 special Masses at 10, 12, and 2, a procession through the town, veneration of her miraculous relic, and the sacrament of anointing. St. Anne Catholic Church grounds will also be the site of an afternoon organ recital, a children's hour, plus religious items and lunch for sale. It's a beautiful event. Learn more at their website, stannestanne.org. That's stannestanne.org. Or by calling 815-427-8265.
It's time to mark your calendar for Monday, September 13th, and join your friends at the Monsignor Greg Ketchum Memorial Golf Outing to be held at Crestwick Country Club in Bloomington. It's sure to be a great day of golf, food, contests, golf, fellowship prizes, and did I mention golf? Your entry fee includes green fees, golf cart, lunch, dinner, mulligans, side games, and much, much more. Sponsored by the Knights of Columbus Council 15175, it's open to men and women. Check-in is at 11 a.m. with the shotgun start at noon and will be a four-person best position contest. For event details, visit our website at kfc15175.org, kfc15175.org, or call 309-825-9720. That's 309-825-9720.
You most likely are familiar with Fatima and Lourdes, but did you know that the Blessed Virgin also appeared in the United States in 1859? That apparition took place near Champion, a small town in the Door Peninsula of Wisconsin. Today, Champion is home to the National Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help. Join Catholic Spirit Radio the weekend of August 14th and 15th on its pilgrimage to this shrine. Our travels will also take us to the Basilica and National Shrine of Mary, Help of Christians, at Holy Hill, also in Wisconsin. This two-day bus trip departs from Wapella, Bloomington, and El Paso. The cost for the trip is $300 per person. Make plans to join this exciting pilgrimage by visiting CatholicSpiritRadio.com or calling Kathy at 309-828-6554 or Carolyn at 309-830-4164.
And welcome back to Good News here on Catholic Spirit Radio. By the way, you can listen to Good News every Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. here on Catholic Spirit Radio, or you can go to our website at catholicspiritradio.org and click on our podcast, and you can also listen to all of our past programs here on Good News. And on many of those programs, you will hear the lilting voice of James, my 17-year-old cohort here on the program, who listens to the readings, reads them ahead of time, does his homework, and comes up with questions to ask. And he always has lots of really interesting questions. And so we're going to read our gospel, and James is going to share his super interesting question on the gospel with us.
Yep, I've got a real good one today.
Okay. So our gospel is according to Mark. The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." People were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity even to eat. So they went off in the boat by themselves to a deserted place. People saw them leaving, and many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot from all the towns and arrived at the place before them. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. The gospel of the Lord. So he, through all this, we're talking about Jesus, had pity on this huge crowd at a time when they were all very tired and trying to get a little peace and quiet, and people started pouring in from towns to an area even before they arrived to rest. So what is your super cool question?
I don't have one.
Okay, and thanks for listening to Good News. Yeah, that's a tough reading to come up with a question because
it's pretty self-explanatory. There's nothing to ask about, really. I mean, it's a bridge between two different occurrences.
Yeah, it is. That's what makes this so important because it sets the groundwork It follows up from one big occurrence. That was what we talked about last week, was Jesus sent the disciples out in pairs to exorcise demons and to heal the sick. And now they've just gotten back. It talks about how they reported what they had done and taught. That's what they're talking about. This is right after that previous event. They've been gone for a while, and now they've come back to meet up with their teacher again and to tell them what they've been up to. And they're exhausted. They've been traveling all over the countryside. They've been performing all these acts of healing, and that takes something out of them. And Jesus sees that they need this time to rest, this time to pray, this time to re-energize. So he says, okay, let's go rest a while. And what happens when they try to get some relaxation?
They're just followed.
They are followed by thousands of people who are just hungry for Jesus' teachings. Many are wanting healing because they've heard that the disciples are able to do this as well. And they're just fascinated by all of this, and they're in such great need. They're like sheep with no direction. And so rather than being annoyed by them, annoyed by these thousands of people who won't let them rest, Christ feels great pity for them and wants to help them. And so he's going to spend time with them teaching, but he's also going to physically feed them. So we talked about this being a bridge. So the event before is the apostles going out in pairs to heal. What's the event that's about to take place after this reading?
The feeding of the masses.
Yeah, the miracle of the loaves and fishes, where the over 5,000 men, so it doesn't even count children and women. We know there are at least 5,000 men, so there's thousands of families, and he's going to feed them with just a few fishes and loaves of bread. But there's a bigger story that comes out of that. We won't get into that one right away. We'll save that for when we get to the loaves and fishes. What's important here, and I'm not sure if I don't know if you caught this or not, but what's the lesson for us today? Because we always talk about Scripture is feeding us now just as it fed them in the past. So what do you see in this, James, that's telling us now?
Trust in God, I guess that's one thing that you can take from it.
That's one thing. For me, it's persistence, about persisting in God, about actively seeking out Christ, trying to go where he is so that we can receive the graces from him. So if we're going to make an actual effort to get to where Christ is, where do we need to be going?
To God, to Christ.
Which is where?
Well, here, now it's in prayer, but there it was to him, just wherever he was going.
To him to receive nourishment, to receive the bread given to us by Christ. Where are we going? We're going to Mass. That's where we need to be going. That's where we find Christ. That's where Christ feeds us. That's where he teaches us. You know, so the crowds, they went from all over to hear Christ speak and to receive food from him. That's the Mass. That's what we do at Mass. The first part of Mass is the sharing of Scripture, the teaching, the coming to understand what God wants of us and how we find the strength to do that, not only through Christ's love for us, but through feeding on Christ, through communion, through the Eucharist. So what this is telling us is about the importance of prayer, the importance of taking time to rest, to go off in solitude and pray, about the importance of perseverance in keeping after our relationship with Christ, to go seek him out, as these thousands did. And where we seek him out to get that teaching and to get that closeness and to get that feeding is at Mass and can be found nowhere else than at Mass. So that's the big lesson of this. There's another lesson to be had when we get into the miracle of the loaves and fishes, but out of this short reading, we're learning about prayer, persistence, and the importance of the Eucharist in our lives. James has questions. James tries to come up with lots of questions, but James needs your help. Tell them how they can help you, James.
I do need your help, and it'd be a lot easier for me if I could just get a couple questions at our email, either goodnews@catholicspiritradio.
You're doing fine. Goodnews@catholicspiritradio.org.
Or .com. I don't know. That's the first time I've ever messed that up.
Little metal block there. That's all right. We all have them.
Yeah. Just send an email there. We can answer the question. It's easy. Please just send one email. Just one. I'm not trying to beg.
We had lots of questions when school was in session, but during the summer, they're a little harder to come by.
It's slow in the summer.
So we look forward to hearing from you again. You can write us at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.org or .com. James, as always, it's a blessing to have you with us here.
Thank you.
And hope to see you again at our next program here on Catholic Spirit Radio. Until then, this is Deacon Al. God bless. We'll see you soon.
You've been listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in your life. Submit your questions to Deacon Al at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. That's goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. Deacon will answer your questions about faith and religion. Thank you for listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio.